In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Christ.
Brothers and sisters, we are nearing the very end of a long journey. We're like those wise men who are following the star and who are approaching Bethlehem, the place that they have traveled so long to get to. And we're just there. We're at the door, or at the gate of the feast, which we enter into tonight and tomorrow. Don't let any jingle bells or anything distract you from finishing your journey, coming to the cave to welcome the newborn Christ. We know from the Gospels that the birth of the Lord happened at the time of a great census. Caesar Augustus ordered that all of the world that fell under his control be registered and then taxed. And his empire extended from the east to the west, from the north to the south. All of these tribes and peoples, these nations, these cultures, these languages, all of these people were conquered by him. And this census was to show how great a kingdom he had, how far his rule extended. And he wanted everybody to write their name down as his loyal subjects. And then he would tax them. The fathers see in this census a prefiguration of what the King of Kings was about to do, which was to enroll all of these peoples, all of these nations, all of these tribes in the book of life. And he would not tax them, but he would give to them. He would give to them his kingdom. The Magi, we just spoke about, those wise men traveling to welcome this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, traveled from a great distance. It was believed that they were from Persia, from the land of Babylon. And they traveled because they knew the prophecies. Daniel had been in there, and he had spoken to them about the coming of the Messiah. And it was these Magi who were looking for this great ruler to arise in Israel. Now, the Magi were not astrologers. They didn't write the horoscopes in the newspaper. They were some of the brightest and most brilliant minds of the day. And they studied the heavens. They studied the stars. They were astronomers, not astrologers. And they looked to the heavens so that they could see the signs and the wonders that God the Creator had prepared for his creation, for his people. And they saw the stars aligning, and they followed this mystical star to see who this Messiah, this chosen one who had been prophesied, was going to be. They were those who sought not just to know the future, but more importantly, to know the truth and to know the Creator, to know God. And they brought gifts with them, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold for a king, frankincense for God, offer incense to God, and myrrh. What was myrrh offered for? Myrrh was normally used to anoint the bodies of the dead, so they didn't stink. They brought myrrh to him because he was going to be the victor over death. It would not be needed anymore. So the Magi brought these gifts. And in the church hymnography, we hear about other gifts that were offered. The shepherds, they came and they offered their wonder. The earth offered a cave. The heavens, a star. Angels, their hymns. And the human race, a pure virgin. All of these gifts that were offered to welcome the one who would give his kingdom to us. I want to speak today about three gifts that we should offer to this King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But first, I want to tell you about something that happened to my family and I early in this Nativity fast. We had just entered into the fast, and we were on our way up to New Jersey to celebrate Thanksgiving. We stopped on the way up to get Chinese food to have with my dad. My wife was off gallivanting with her family. I'm teasing, they were shopping for the festivities. But it was just my dad, myself, and the three children, and we were sitting down for this meal of Chinese food. And at the end of the meal, our favorite part is to open the fortune cookies. So we went into the bag, and we found there was a problem, though. They only had given us 2 fortune cookies. There were 5 of us. So what to do? Well, we can't just give them to the children because there's 3 children and there were only 2. So we decided we would have 1 of the 2 would be for the old fogies, my father and I, and then 1 would be for the children. And we opened those fortune cookies, and I was somewhat shocked by what we received. The fortune that was for the 2 old fogies, the 2 priests, said, "A true leader takes people where they need to go, even if they don't want to go there themselves." And when I heard that, and I'm sure when my father heard that, it really rang true. It rang true because as priests, that's largely what our job is. But it rang true most importantly because that's what the job of God Himself is. He is our leader. He is our shepherd. He is our ruler. And He brings us where we would not want to go, but where we need to go. But we say, well, Father John, doesn't He bring us into the next age, into resurrection and life everlasting? Doesn't everybody want that? Of course everyone wants that, right? Who wouldn't want that? If we could, we'd have life forever on this earth. Life is good. So what is it that makes it so hard to follow God? What is it that is so hard about the Christian faith? It's because the Lord is leading us out of sin. And we have come to slavishly love sin. This is the hardest part of the Christian life, if we're honest with ourselves. We've come to love sin. It's hard not to be greedy. It's hard not to seek after pleasures or power, pride, all of these things that we chase after, that we've become enslaved to. It's hard to leave them. But it's for our good, even though we don't know it. And this is why it's so hard to follow God, because we don't yet know by experience that it is good for us to be freed from this sin. It is good for us to live a totally different life. We don't yet know it by experience. We know it just because the Lord is telling us this. And this is what makes the job of a priest hard. And this is what makes the job of the Lord hard. But we think about today's gospel reading. All that long list of names. Those 3 series of 14 generations. They speak to us about God's leadership. The first 14, from Abraham to David, God led them through judges. Then from David to the deportation in Babylon, the kings. Then the deportation in Babylon to Christ, the priests. All of these leaders that God had appointed for His people, were they able to get the job done? No. Not the judges, nor the kings, nor the priests. They weren't able to get the job done. They weren't able to lead people out of their sin. So what did Christ have to do? He came Himself to be the King of Kings, the Judge of all, the great High Priest, to fulfill all of the leadership roles in Himself, to be that great Shepherd. And not only did He become the great Shepherd, He also became the Lamb. He became the Sheep. And He led, and He was led. And He overcame sin in Himself, showing us how to do it. Christ was not only the leader, but through the incarnation, He became the follower. These 3 gifts that we're to bring to Christ, our Shepherd. The first is faith. Faith. In the epistle today, faith was mentioned countless times. All of the wonderful things they did in the Old Testament by faith. And what was their faith all about? It was about God's power to work wonders for them, to grant them newness of life, resurrection. Here's an example, just one from that long list. Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, his only son, born of his wife. He offered him up. And he who had received the promises, Abraham, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. This was the promised one to Abraham. And from Isaac would come all of the others, and eventually Christ. And it was God who told Abraham, offer up Isaac. And then St. Paul says, this is why Abraham did it. Because he concluded that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. He was willing to offer up Isaac because God would raise him from the dead. That's how much faith Abraham had. To do what he didn't want to do. To go where he didn't want to go. And Abraham becomes the father of all believers, all those who have faith. In Hebrews, St. Paul says, faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things yet unseen. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things unseen. Well, what was unseen for that time? The resurrection. They hadn't seen it. We are in better shape than them. Why? Because we've seen the resurrection. We've seen the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the others, the Messiah. We've seen the shepherd and the lamb. We've seen the fulfillment. And in Christ we see what we want, bodily resurrection. And we see what maybe we don't yet want, sinlessness. We need faith in Christ. Second, hope. Who knows the term managed decline? Who's heard that? Maybe you heard it this past week. There was a new tax bill that Republicans offered, and they said, okay, the time for managed decline of the economy is over. Right? Managed decline. Managed decline is a phrase that refers to the management of the decline or sunset phase at the end of a life cycle, with the goal of minimizing costs or other forms of losses and harm. Some examples, this is from Wikipedia, of managed decline, the U.S. Postal Service. We're managing the decline of the U.S. Postal Service. Also, they list churches in Western Europe undergoing managed decline. And managed decline is something that we actually know very well, though we probably don't realize it. When you turn 18 or 20, what starts to happen to you? Start to die, right? Start to decline. You get a little bit older, 30s, 40s, 50s, things start breaking, things start going. We manage our decline. The whole human race manages its decline. And we set our aspirations, our highest aspirations, on a good managed decline. That's all we want. Slow it down, stretch it out, make the most of it. That's our highest hope. Shame on us. Shame on us. Can't we hope for something higher than that? Can't we lift our eyes up and see our God, who's not only creator but redeemer, and is offering to us something much better? We need to have courage to hope for something more, to seek life more abundant. So we need faith, we need hope, and obviously, what's the third? What are the three great virtues? Faith, hope, and love. Love. Archbishop Michael, in his Nativity letter, he gives us a long list of reasons why we should love God in Christ. Because he did this for us. Here's the list. In his life, he experienced being hungry and thirsty, feeling fatigue and need for rest. He felt the misery of people's pain and suffering and mourned the death of someone he loved. He was tempted by the evil one and rejected by men. He was criticized for the unique way he did things. He was called names and lied about, mocked and rejected and hated. He was dismissed from people's homes, cast out of synagogues, and expelled from cities. Ultimately, he was betrayed and brought to unjust trials. He was imprisoned, scourged, and crucified. He suffered the agony of death on the cross. He experienced his body being laid in a tomb and his soul descending, even into Hades. To all of this, he surrendered himself in order to be victorious over sin, the devil, and death, all for our salvation. All to bring us where we don't want to go ourselves. He went through all of this. How could we not love him? I want to close on one thing, brothers and sisters. I told you about those two fortune cookies. You want to hear what the children's was? Their fortune was, you are about to embark upon a journey beyond your wildest dreams. At first, when I heard that, I was like, oh no, we gotta plan a big vacation to make them happy. And then it started to click to me that maybe the journey was something else. That maybe it was to a place where maybe they didn't want to go, where they wouldn't dream about. A place they might even think would be a nightmare to go. Maybe that journey was to Christ. You know, I think that fortune cookie was for all of us, brothers and sisters. Whether we be clergy or laity, whether we have leadership roles or not, we're all meant to be children of God. People who trust God as our Father, who knows what's best for us, even when we think we know but we really don't. Even when we want something totally opposite, to be his children and to trust him as our judge, as our king, as our priest, as our shepherd, and to complete the journey that the wise men made, and to be present as we celebrate the birth of the Messiah, our Savior, to be present here tonight, tomorrow, and to bring with us those three gifts: a little faith, a little hope, and a little love. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.